where she would take us. We would have to go to a restaurant. She would drive, but I would have to stand on the outside of the street, open the door. We would sit down. I would have to talk to her about stuff. And I never understood it until I became someone's boyfriend. And now we're going out to do stuff. And I know what it's like to be a woman because my mom made me do this. I watched her do this with Jackson. They went to D.C. to watch Kendrick's concert. Lamar, yeah. And I watched some of the footage that Jackson got on his.
Every mom knew about raising a young boy into a healthy, conscious man.
I want mothers to know that they don't have to turn their boys into hard men. A lot of moms are like, I don't know how to raise my boy. He doesn't listen to me. I don't know what's happening in the school. He just shuts down. And I just want them to know that it's really hard to be a boy. There's no section at the bookstore for boys. There's no material for young boys because we just say boys will be boys. We can't change them. We can't. There's nothing we can do. They're just going to become who they are. And I just disagree with that completely. I want moms to know that your boy is sensitive and sweet and empathetic. He has all those things, but the world's telling him he's not allowed to be. So the more that a mom can create a safe container, a safe space for that boy to feel all the things he needs to feel without trying to fix him, the more I think that that boy will be willing and able to share the things that are happening in his life.
So the funny thing is, I always wanted a son or sons, and I ended up with two girls. The reality is, that probably won't happen. But the reasons I wanted to raise a son is so I can give him insight on how to be a better man from a woman's point of view. Tips that I feel like a lot of young men need to know now. So now when I have friends who have sons or family that have sons, I get to add that in if they haven't already. And I feel like this whole idea that women cannot raise great boys who become men is a lie because I've seen it multiple times. But there has to be some type of male mentor or guide in the mix of things. So this episode right here is about all those thoughts about boys becoming men, what's talked about with my cousin, Kamiko. She's been on She Gets a Pod in the past, but I think this is the first time she's on Cozy Room Podcast. So this is the bonus. I hope you guys enjoy it. No shade, just insight. Welcome to Cozy Room Podcast.
Hey, Pearl.
Hello.
How goes it? You like me. Fuck the Super Bowl. I'm only looking for Bad Boy Bunny.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. It's been fuck the Super Bowl for many years for me.
Same. I will check out the halftime, whether it's a recap or what, but definitely will. That's all I care about.
Our dad just was on the phone trying to give me a lecture about how my schedule affects other people. And how he'll, I guess I'll just miss the game. And I was just quiet, like.
I guess you will.
Like, because I told him 3 hours ago, I said I have a recording around 7. So if I could get her before that or after, I don't know if you're working or not. I don't never know your schedule. And I don't ask you that shit. I usually meet him like halfway to get Ari. But I feel like my extendo of if you say meet you here at 7:15,
I'm gonna meet you too.
I'll be here beforehand and you still not here. And I don't say shit.
Mm-mm.
If they meet you here at 6:30, I'll be here beforehand. And you never here on time. And I don't say shit. So him having this gripe about I don't have the luxury of scheduling X, Y, and Z around the window time that I have to meet you with Ari, and I guess I'll just miss the game.
What? Having children is about scheduling. That's the whole thing when it comes to being a parent.
When I tell you. You can't tell the one who's always lenient about what you're missing.
I don't care about the
Super Bowl. And by the time he was done talking, he was like, I'm done. I didn't even say bye. I just hung up the phone.
Yes, he needed to vent. He needed to vent.
What are you talking about?
It was a vent session.
But anywho, welcome. This is Cozy Room Podcast. This is season 22. And this topic right here, I have the right person for it. I have my cousin Miko.
Yes.
We are talking boy moms and boy shit. And what comes with that. And I feel like it's a constant. Ever so often you might see a post or somebody talking about it, but I feel like now it's a bit more vivid that a lot of women are enjoying raising boys, but forgetting that later on they have to become men.
Yes.
Kind of like, what did you pour into them in order for them to become better men for themselves, better men for other people, better men in society? Better men with a balanced thinking when it comes to women. And I think a lot of times we hear and we see moms creating habits and a structure that's temporary to work for her, but later on avoiding the fact that it doesn't work for everybody else. And having this attitude or this chip on her shoulder, like, oh, that's everybody else's problem. He doesn't talk to me like that. Or that's everybody else's
problematic.
Treat me like that. And I'm just like, okay, just like how you took the ownership of the good things, it's some negative things that come with things that you did or you did not do. And just like you allowed conversation for the good things that you did, you have to allow conversation for the things that you should have worked on. And I have friends with sons, but I've never raised any boys. I've seen my mom try her best to raise my brothers, and I've also seen the results of that outcome. I get to see my nephews get raised by their dads, but I never got to see, like, one-on-one, how are they being raised by their mom. So I really can't speak on what their mom did or did not do versus what their dad did or did not do. But I feel like when it comes to raising boys, I think it's always double work, whether you're raising girls or you're raising boys. But I feel like now in society, because there's so much being said and so much being told to them about who they need to be and how they should become,
it is on the parent, it is on the mother. And I've noticed in my parenting that allowing him to have access to the internet has deeply affected him as a man. So I have had to go in and listen to, hey, what kind of YouTube video are you watching? Because, you know, that whole red pill, but like, it could get dangerous where I have to have these conversations with him about the men that you see on TV, the men that you see on the internet, these influencers, not everything that you hear is something that you should absorb. Mm-hmm. And even when it comes to being a mother raising a young man, children learn from what you do, from what they see. So I can speak all of these virtues, whether they be conservative, liberal ideologies and morality. But if he doesn't see me putting that in action, how I treat myself, do I take care of myself? Do I prioritize myself? How am I with finances? What does our house look like? What responsibilities do I give him? Mm-hmm. But, you know, growing up 80s, 90s baby, I was told that women are supposed to do domestic work and all men have to do is take out the trash and do yard work. Not in my house. Not in my house. You need to learn how to clean the bathroom because I'm not going to clean up after you. I can't do that because you're going to expect someone else to do it when you get older, or worse, you're not going to know how to do it yourself. That's like not teaching your son how to wash his behind, and then hopefully he grows up and that is an issue. There are men who do not know how to
clean. There are men in their 30s who do not know how to clean their behind good and try to hide their boxers in their own homes.
Okay, we won't have that. We will not. That was one of the first things we learned. Hygiene, hair washing, combing, cleaning, clipping your nails, cleaning your ears, lotioning. Like, these are things, like, you're not doing it for me. This is not a favor for me. This is for you. And understanding what that means.
Yes. All of that. Mm-hmm. That's what it's like to raise boys is. For me, I have two girls. Mm-hmm. So I only get to observe what they're doing, what they're not doing, what they should be doing. So it's an easier guide, right? You know how people talk about, did you have to deal with a naked mom?
I'm semi,
you know what I'm saying? Because there's no men in here, there's no boys in here. But there are times where I might be in the shower and I'd be like, bring me the shampoo, the one that's silver top. They bring it. Or bring me a pad. They're old enough. They can't know what that is. Even if I had a son, I wouldn't tell them to come all in the bathroom, but go get me a pad.
So that's important. A lot of boys are grossed out about periods. And my son is not one of those people. Because we also have a dog who gets her cycle too as well. He's like, you know, I appreciate you women for this. No disrespect. I'm glad I'm a man. But what you guys go through is rough. He's like, I don't have to do that, mom. But I do understand what you're going through as far as cramps. If I'm not feeling well, he's, you know, do you need anything? Can I help you? Are you okay? You want some Tylenol? Mm-hmm. Like, he's understanding of that. Not grossed out. It's a part of life. So understanding the female body as well as the male body. I was a naked mom. Mm-hmm. I would walk around with t-shirts, but he came to me respectfully. Hey, you mind putting some shorts on? No problem, King. No problem, King. My bad.
What age was this?
He was like 13. Like, hey, put some shorts on if you can. If you can. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. But respectfully, nah. And he always says that too. Everything is respectfully. If he has a problem, he can come to me. And that's how he introduces it. Respectfully, can I talk to you about something real quick, mom? You know? He's cool. He's cool. But boundaries are important, and knowing that you can voice your boundaries. If you don't like something, if something makes you uncomfortable, I will always want it to be a safe space because I don't want him to get walked over in his other relationships, whether it be with his friends, other family members. Mm-hmm. You should be able to say how you feel in a respectful way, but get your point across.
I like that.
Like you said, put on some shorts with the quickness. He's like, yeah, nah.
Well, Aya is very like, why are you doing that? Why are you flashing me right now? I said, yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, in a mood, and she just put the things up. Ari is just like, hey. And I was like, two different personalities. But I think I agree with you on like the cleaning part, because a lot of people assume, oh, you have girls, you don't have to deal with a nasty bathroom. Yes, you do. Have you seen the women's bathrooms at work?
Yes, they are some of the dirtiest places ever.
Okay, and if I don't check them, then who's going to check them? If I don't peep like, oh, you use the bathroom, you didn't wash your hands, go wash your hands. Mm-hmm. Or I see you use the bathroom, you didn't flush, you didn't use toilet tissue. Let me tell you what happens when you're a girl and you don't use toilet tissue. You
know okay.
what I'm very like direct about that. There's no ew. I don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a mom who had all the encyclopedias in the house, and she had a medical book, a medical book with pictures. And in the middle of that book was pictures of what each STD looks like.
Oh gosh, she was one of those, yeah.
And skin rashes, and we will flip through them and talk about them, okay, from a very young age. So when it comes to like illness, there is no ew in here, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to CVS, I'm buying pads. Why are you buying those pads versus these pads?
Mm-hmm.
What is a tampon?
Ooh, what y'all talking about? What y'all talking about? Put me in. Oh, okay. Maybe next time. Yep. Y'all know I'm Drake, be Drake with everything culture. The podcast for all cultures, the podcast with a purpose. Our mission statement comes from the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., which is, he believed that men hate each other because they fear each other. They fear each other because they don't know each other. They don't know each other because of segregation. And because of segregation, we have miscommunication. So we created this podcast and platform and the pillars of respect, communication, and consistency so we can get to know each other, so we can love one another. And I'm going to respect y'all conversation. But whenever y'all find time, come holler at us too. We'll love to continue the conversation and spark new ideas and new visions and new perspectives. Y'all have a great one. Peace.
Why would they use that instead of this? You know what I'm saying? Keep that a very open conversation. Now, is there a place to have that conversation? Yes. Is there a place to have a conversation with your son about the fact that You kind of tart today. I'm not going to tell you in front of your friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you when I'm picking you up in front of your peoples. I'm not going to tell you in front of your teacher, but let me talk to you about that.
Here I've had to do that. I've had to have a conversation. I was like, if I can smell you, you should be able to smell you. Okay. And you're over there. And he was like, oh, you're right. Yeah, you've been sitting in that.
Yes.
Yeah, go take a shower.
Even when you don't need
me to tell you to take a shower. You have go take a shower.
Yeah, even when it comes to the breath, like the girls, I wake them up, the mouthwash is there, the toothbrush is there. You said you did it, but you just talked to me and I got a whiff.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to change that, I'm letting you know not to be mean. You should go handle that now so you don't have to go all day with that. And for me, I'm a person where smells jog my memory. I remember people from the sixth grade and I'm 38.
Oh, gosh.
Okay? And that's not...
That's not where you want to be.
No. And you know what I'm saying? I remember them by name. Some I remember by face. And you don't want to be remembered as, oh, the one with the stink breath. Or the one that was always musty. Or the one that hair was never combed. Or the one that...
That's how I got him to get deodorant. To remember to put his deodorant on every day. I'm like, yo, you're going to be the smelly guy in class. Yeah, you don't want to be that person.
You don't have to be that person.
My issue right now is just lotion. He'll do everything else, but always forget the lotion. I said, just because you're light-skinned don't mean you don't get ashy.
Thank you.
Your hands are white.
Someone from the light-skinned committee, because Ari, girl, mm-hmm. denial. The knees, she's in denial. The elbows, in denial.
Looking like you fell in chalk. What? No.
And then if she puts on... lotion on her face, it never fails. Every morning and breath the best up. All right, what's that on your face? What? This white stuff right here. Oh, it's just my lotion. So you're not planning on rubbing it in?
It's all in. All in. You got to get it good.
Hence, there is a video going around on Instagram about men refusing to lotion their butt.
Oh my God.
Because they feel like if you're not going to see it, why should they have to lose
that? Because you need to protect your skin barrier. This is seven layers, boo boo. Seven layers. Okay. We need to penetrate all seven layers. It's important.
I'm just like, oh my gosh. Somebody teach these men how to love themselves.
But that's a part of it. Teaching them self love. Caring for you is doing nothing for me. You brushing your teeth don't do nothing for me.
Hello?
Putting on deodorant is all you. It's how you care about yourself.
Yes. And which brings me to this. What are the skills young men need to learn that they're not learning?
So the biases of emotional intelligence and understanding what to do with their feelings. So that's a big issue that I see young men having right now. Maybe not a big issue. Maybe it's even more so with the generation that came before. But understanding your emotions, mm-hmm. how to navigate them, who to seek help from. Mm-hmm. And what to do with them. My son speaks to me about this a lot. Knowing what to do with his emotions, not wanting to be, he calls it being stoic. I don't want to fall into the category of being stoic and mm-hmm. pretending that everything is okay right. when it's not okay.
Right.
So that's one of his big issues that he has is what do I do with these big emotions and how do I maintain my masculinity and still show emotion? I'm not happy about something. I'm angry about something. Something hurts or I want to cry. What do I do with that?
And that doesn't make you less than a boy or a man if you do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's too many men out here scared to cry. And I feel like that's what fuels a lot of the anger for rejection. That's what fuels a lot of the anger for I got fired today or somebody wrote me up. That's what fuels a lot of anger for the person that cut in line at the grocery store. This man did that to me.
Mm.
This African man saw the line. Looked back at me and stepped in front of me for self-checkout. And I said, Chantal, who do you want to be today?
Like, who's that? Who's that?
Do you want to be the woman that's already black, that's loud in the store, checking another black man about him doing something he knew better not to do?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to just let him get that register?
Yep.
And a second later, look, this register right next to him open. Do you want to be the woman that still got to check out and had to say something to him that was nasty?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to just let karma find him today?
It depends on the day. Sometimes I like to give life lessons. Other times I let people go. It depends on the day.
Yes. But I think a lot of what's in my mind now for like the past 2 weeks is men feeling like there's a lot of things that my wife does, or there's a lot of things that the person I'm dating does that I hate, that I don't like, and I don't say anything. You don't get a cookie for that later. You don't get an award for that later. You don't get to sit in a relationship for 13 years or a marriage and get an award for not saying how you would like to be treated better, or not saying how you didn't feel loved properly for X amount of time, and bring it up maybe at therapy, or maybe when something's hitting the fan as like a jab to the next person. I want men to, what you said, get more emotionally inclined to share those things while you're in the process of that relationship, while you're in that marriage. Because
men don't have community, though. I don't think they understand how to navigate what a safe space is and choosing those safe spaces. So a lot of times they choose people based upon comfortability and basically co-signing their continuous behavior. But one of the reasons why women live longer, one of the reasons why we're healthier, is that we know how to build community. We know how to find spaces to express ourselves and gravitate towards that. Men don't have that. Even right now, my son has, I'll say, three really good friends. And sometimes that's all you need. Mm-hmm. But it took time for him to build that space, for him to find those people. He's been in high school maybe 2 years now. And it's been a slow process because he was able to use his emotional intelligence. Hey, this person is into something I'm not into, though. This person wants to smoke weed. I don't do that. I'm not that kind of guy. Mm-hmm. This person cuts class. I'm not going to rock with that. So he was actually like outcasted a little bit because he's not into those things that are not putting him on his trajectory. Mm-hmm. So he's now reaping the rewards of, I didn't go with whoever wanted me, and I went towards people who are more aligned to what I'm doing and what I'm trying to do. It right. took time. So it's like it was a sacrifice, but it was worth it.
And that right there, at least you're teaching your son how to sacrifice not being in spaces where the majority is, or in things that the majority likes. It takes a lot of self-confidence to be like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, he was alone for a little while, but now the friends that he has, you know, they're on the phone, they're giving each other advice, they have aligned like goals, they want to go to college. These other kids, they weren't thinking about that. They were thinking about having a good time. So learning to find those safe spaces. That's one thing that one of his teachers said that she was really surprised about, is that some adults don't even know how to get help or go seek out places. Some people go for comfort. You'll go to the same place, getting the same results.
Yeah.
But there was something going on with school, and he was like, no, you can't help me, but I appreciate you asking. I know who to go to. If you can give me a moment, I can go there. She called me. She was like, yo, adults can't do that. Adults can't say, hey, I have this problem, and I'm not going to just choose who's available. I'm going to choose who can help me best.
Yeah.
So that's what men need to. Sometimes they go for having any other male around rather than the male who's actually going to help them, which means they might be telling you the truth, not agreeing with you, checking you. Mm-hmm. They won't go to that place, but they'll go to the place that will reinforce the negative things that might be already going on because it's comfortable.
Yeah. And I will say, a lot of what your preteen isn't doing as a boy, a lot of what your teenager isn't doing as a boy, how they don't open up, says a lot about what safe spaces they had at home.
Mm-hmm.
Because where else would they learn that? Where else would they get to see that in play and be like, you know what? I'm comfortable with this because I see my dad do it. I see my brother do it. I see my mom allow my dad to do it, and she doesn't treat him any different. A lot of your child's limitations and their personalities start at home.
Agreed.
And so when it comes to like manners, good hygiene, how to treat themselves with respect, how to treat others with respect, how to be productively independent, because you could have an independent kid, but is it a kid that's independent that likes to be in their room, play with the fidget for 3 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a kid that's independent, creating things, doing their work, they taking a break, they know when they need a break, they can voice when they need a break, because they know what, if I don't get a break, this happens.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of parents need to be able to peep. To be like, okay, when you get like these are your options, 1, 2, and 3. So when you're not around, in their mind, they hear your voice. Oh, I'm getting like this. This is what I'm doing. And I'm really big on with the girls, like, if they're doing something that I find annoying or irritating, I don't say it to my mind. I say it out loud. Hey, I understand you want to keep talking to me, but stop, because it's getting annoying.
Oh yeah, I set those boundaries. Not right now. And he, you know what? It gets flipped back on me. He was like, is what you're saying right really important right now? Can it wait? And he was like, yeah, because I really don't feel like talking right now. And I have to take, like, unless it's something I have to speak to him about, all right, we could put a pin in it. We could circle back later. Like, okay, no problem.
Tried to do that to me when she'll say something and I'm ignoring her. And she's like, I'm going to remember that.
Eddie Betty.
You know what I'm saying? I'm doing that right now for a legit reason. Mm-hmm. You'll probably do it later to be petty.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, but those things are important. Being able to say it in the house, so when somebody says it outside, it's not a tick.
He really does practice his boundary setting. He knows that certain conversations need to be had, especially if it's disciplinary or we're following up, we're checking up. But he knows he can set a boundary with me. Hey, I really don't feel like talking right now. I don't know if you saw the whole little thing about living room kids versus bedroom kids.
Mm-hmm.
I got a living room kid. I got in my room kid. Like, yes, very comfortable throughout the house. Very comfortable with expressing themselves.
Yeah.
The whole nine. And he does have other activities too. Cause I know the TV and the internet and the video games. I got an Xbox kid with the headset.
I'm in bed right now. I'm in the living room and she want to be on the Xbox. Girl.
Okay.
Give me an hour.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, that part. So he has found other things to keep him occupied that are not electronic.
Mm-hmm.
He makes stop motions. He does have his own YouTube channel. I gave him that.
Mm-hmm.
But the work that he's putting in on it is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, even, you know, I have restrictions. There's no video games Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Absolutely not. It's a distraction. Mm-hmm. It's way too much. So the kid is smart. You have a passion about something. You want to build a following for your gaming. So he preloads all of his videos in advance to schedule them, because he can't play video games during the week. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, he got to drop ready. Good. And then in the lieu of that, he'll make his stop motions. He'll make his videos, or he'll do his art, his drawing, because video games are not an option Monday through Friday.
Yeah. I will do that. Like, let's say if you can't be on the Xbox or you had another Xbox time, she'll be in a room drawing, creating, writing. And I'm just like, okay, cool. It's better than you throwing a fit for an hour until you fall asleep because you can't have electronic. And that's
channel that energy. Create.
That's what people need to pay attention to when it comes to their kid. Like, is this a vice or is this a pacifier?
Mm-hmm. And the screen time is an addiction. Like, I didn't have a cell phone when I was in high school, so I actually did have something to do. Go outside, read a book.
Yeah.
Read a book. I'm so glad he actually is into reading now more than ever.
Yeah.
So he has been reading a lot of nonfiction as well as fiction. So I'm good with that. He got a new book. It's an old book we've heard of, the George Orwell, but they have a graphic novel of 1984. Mm-hmm. So that's his current little project right now I'm reading.
Okay.
Tekashi Coates, like, so he's reading black authors now. So I'm very happy about that. Okay. But we have to do something else other than video games.
Yeah, because they'll get sucked in. Home skills, I think, are very important for boys.
Cooking.
Like they are for girls. Breakfast stuff, Anya will do it, as long as it's not, like, super invasive. She's not on pancake level yet, but she'll do eggs. She'll do sausage.
Mm-hmm.
She can do the toaster, hash browns, waffles, whatever. Her thing is the cleaning of the dishes.
I got a hard time with that too, because I don't like eating off of dirty dishes. I have to check. He loves to wash, but I gotta go behind.
Three times. Sometimes I have to be like, oh, this pot's not clean. Come ahead and clean the pot. Flipping over the mugs, I pray. You know what I'm saying?
My coffee mugs, yes. Oh my gosh.
So she struggles with that. Laundry, she does.
Mm-hmm.
I don't put her on cleaning the bathroom every day, but once a week, clean that bathroom. Her room, that's hit or miss.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I can say it three times. I'm still looking at the sweatshirt from yesterday on your bed. How did you clean it? Tell me. I want to know.
But it's the rappers for me, because why are rappers still here? What's so hard about you going to drop it in the garbage? Okay.
And her room is the closest to the kitchen. I'm confused.
Yeah.
Even her in my living room. Why is the candy stick here?
Yeah, I can't. That part. That drives me crazy. Recycling, leaving cans and cups around the house.
Yeah, that's
my pet peeve.
And I think for him, mm-hmm. it's better to have the mom he has now, because he's going to be a better man for the woman he has later.
Yeah, I'm going to say something. But you know what? He said that to me. He asked me, this was when it first started, when he started doing chores. He was like, I need to learn how to do this by myself because I don't want my wife doing it by herself.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. When it comes to laundry, he's impeccable.
Oh, good.
Because, you know, New York, we don't have a laundry in the house. He takes it. He carries my bag. He puts everything in the machine.
Very nice.
Everything is done. He has no problem helping me with that. So he's amazing. Taking out the trash, he does that. No problem. Cleaning up after the dog, no problem. But I think that's more of a him thing.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like to see waste. So the wee-wee pad needs to be clean every single, like, he doesn't like that. So that's more of his thing. I don't have to say anything. And when he does his chores and I don't have to say anything, I compensate. I pay. A little Apple Pay.
See, I wouldn't mind like an extra level of niceness if I got to the mode of I didn't have to say it was done.
That's the only time I pay him. If it gets done and I don't have to ask, I'll pay you.
But I'm always in the mode of, oh, you're making me be the annoying mom today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be her. But for the sake of how I like my house, I will be her.
Yep, I have no problem.
You know what I'm saying? I just don't like to repeat myself. And I feel like both of the girls will have a better mom if you stop making me repeat myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you got to do. I'm not asking.
If he was here right now and you ask him, hey, does your mom like to repeat herself? His face will get white. No. No, she does not. She does not. If I say something to him one time,
right,
that's the cue, because the second time is not going to be as sweet.
Right. I don't like it because I don't like how it makes me sound to you. I don't want to be annoying to you, and you're putting me in a position to have to be this person I don't even want to be. But I also don't want to act like your legs are broke or your hands are broken here.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to ironing, we have adults in this time that don't iron their clothes. No. I don't understand it. I tell her, like, on Sundays, especially because they wear uniforms, iron your clothes before you get on the Xbox today.
That's how I grew up. My grandmother made sure that my outfits were picked out. 5 outfits in a week. There's no reason why you shouldn't have your outfits planned out.
Mm-hmm.
Either do it the night before. So I did one better. I had 5 outfits hung up just in case. That way, when I woke up in the morning, I had no problem.
Yeah.
Him, not so much. He picks his clothes out that morning. As long as you're ready, I don't care. But he's never late. Like, he gets up, gets himself ready for school, you know, packs his book bag.
Yeah.
I don't have to do anything. I just wave goodbye, you know, make sure he get out on time. But
I wish, okay? I have to wake both of them up constantly on Anya. Third time. Get up. Maybe I have to pour cold water on you. And hit or miss, her room is a mess, even though I said clean it the night before. I have to ask both of them to pick your clothes out. I, like, this week is my office week. All of my fits are out. Ready. Because I know how I hate the fact that this company is making me go to the office when I can do this at home. So I'm
agreed. Going
to be in my most calmest mindset this week, and I have to pick out those fits. So me and your granny got along, you know what I'm saying? I like that.
Me and him don't get along. I am anal retentive about time, but he's like me, but worse. He wakes up extra early. Like, I have to bargain with him. His alarm is at 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to wake up until 6 o'clock, but his alarm, because he's up at 5. If it works for him, it works for him, but I've had to compromise. Can you put your alarm at 5:30?
Yeah.
Compromise. I don't want to be up, because I'm a light sleeper. I hear everything, but very efficient. And this has been that way since middle school. Mm-hmm. He's never needed me to wake him up. Just ready to go. I love it.
I miss. It has to be something she wants to do. Like, she wants to stay on that Xbox. Get herself ready. She's not going to wake nobody up purposely.
Mm-hmm.
she's going to just do what she wants to do so she could do what she wants to do. And you can't say, did you do this? So she could be like,
I did it. Oh. Or I have enough time.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? No, she's not getting up just because it's Monday and the school time. I have to be the one. And then if I say I'm taking Ari to her bus, when I get back in here, be ready. 9 out of 10 times, she's not ready. And that's more so like what we go back and forth in here with. So I'm glad you have him with that personality that he has and that self-motivation. So my next question is, when it comes to the fact that most women today are hyper-independent, mm-hmm. to overcompensate for how males are not showing up, what do you think is the main problem for that?
So, oh gosh. So he sees the difference between his dad and myself. Mm-hmm. He sees the support system his dad has, and it goes back to having a mom show up for you in certain ways, and he knows that I won't be doing that when it comes to him. Mm-hmm. The type of support that his dad receives from his parents, I told him, I think your parents are supposed to be with you for lifelong journeys, but we do have to loosen the reins. And his concern is having a male example. He thinks, hey, mom, you're a great example, but I'm seeing you as an adult.
Yeah.
I would like to see the adult male perspective. I think you're doing great, mom. It's great. But I would like to see what a man looks like doing what you do. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where we are right now, where he's like, you're doing a great job, but there are certain aspects of being an adult that can only be shown to me by a man. And I don't have that example. So that's kind of like, this is the most recent conversation that we had. And it's so hard, where he says that, yeah, there are some generalizations of being an adult as far as taking care of yourself. Like we said, these are basic adult functions.
Yeah.
But you're telling me how I should handle things as a man, and you're not one.
Mm.
Respect. I respect you. And some of these conversations are really, really hard. And I don't have the answers for him. Mm-hmm. I don't. I do tell him that the things that I'm teaching you are universal.
Yeah.
And whether you are a boy, whether you are a girl, whether I am a man or not, are useful. But I do respect the fact that you would like to see a man do it so that you can see whether or not you want to emulate that.
Yeah. And I think it's really good that you respect it, because a lot of moms who are the moms of sons refuse to accept that, even though you're doing 110% of your best and your child knows this, your best, you will never be the example of a man they need to see.
Yep, pretty yeah. much.
And we have moms who say, I'm doing both. You can't do both. You can't.
You can do your best. You yes. can give a great example, but you can't do both.
Yes. And once, as a woman, as a mom, you get to a point where you just like, no, I can't do both, but I have these great male friends here that can be a great example for you, or a source if you need them. Here's their contact information. There's this person here that can mentor you in that section if you have a question and you don't want to ask me as your mom. I'm cool. I think that's fine. A lot of times, unfortunately, a biological dad is not the go-to for the example that a son wants to be.
And I've told him that sometimes you have to learn by what not to do, to learn to what to do. Sometimes you might have a poor example and that'll be the motivation for you not to do it. So you already see now that I do everything by myself. In your mind, you already said, hey, my wife will never be doing that.
Yeah.
When I have kids, she's not going to be doing this. And that's the kind of thing that you'll have to learn from. Sometimes you won't have the perfect example. Sometimes the imperfect example is what's going to get you to where you need to be. And he said, that makes sense. But he still wants a good example.
And I understand that. I think a lot of the issue with the hyper-independent women overcompensating for the males is, one, the males today don't see a problem with it. Mm-mm. And the only time that they want to bring up the fact that we don't want to date you because you're acting like a man, they don't see the reason why we're in a position to be manly in a lot of cases. And it's because there's no man there. Also,
a lot of them, their moms were doing it. I've dated a few people who their moms were married single women.
My mom was a married single woman.
That's a big thing. They have an expectation for you to do, because my mother did it.
Yeah.
My mother did everything. My mother paid half the bills. My mom did all of the housework. My mom did all of the homework. My mom did all of the meals, the grocery shopping, this, that, and the third. Why can't you?
And And the other catch to that shit is a lot of them see how their mom showed up in that marriage, know that it wasn't fair, and then they spitefully go out their way to look for a woman that's not like their mom.
And then want to force them into that situation. Yeah. I've had a mother tell me, well, what's wrong with it? Listen, I had to tell her, you do it. You've been doing it. So let me step out your way and you can continue. I'm not you. I could never be you. I will never love you the way your mother loves you. I will never do for you the way that your mother does for you, because that's your mother. There's a different obligation. There's a different relationship. And the fact that your mother's been doing it for so long, that's a conversation I've had with him as well, too. I'm going to have to let go at some point. I'll always be here for you, but there's certain responsibilities that I have to you as you get older, I'm going to relinquish. And it's going to be your choice to navigate the world. The stuff that I'm teaching you right now, some of it might work, some of it might not work.
Yeah.
You know, I'm raising you for a world that doesn't exist yet. And I think it's your responsibility to learn the timeless things that I'm showing you. And you might have to come back to me and say, hey, Ma, I went out into the world and I tried this and it didn't work.
Or even like for him, because he's getting the right things foundation wise.
Mm-hmm.
You might be preparing him for a woman he probably won't meet until his mid-30s.
Listen, I did tell him to hold out. Like, you know what I'm saying?
There's no rush. A lot of these girls, a lot of these women, oh my gosh, he knows exactly what soap to use when he washes clothes. That's gay. Or, oh my gosh, his house is so clean. Something ain't right about that. He ain't got not one dirty. Da, da, da. Or he does this. I don't even have to ask him what woman he had over here. He didn't have no woman over here. Mm-mm. But he saw something in you where maybe you would like a quality person that I am. And then a lot of girls today, they don't appreciate quality.
That's another conversation I had with him too about relationships and dating. Like he wanted to, you know, he had this plan in his head that he was going to go to college, find the right person, get married, have kids. I said, hey, word of advice, prefrontal cortex does not develop until 25. Do not make me agree. I said, honestly, you should wait till you're 30. From my personal experience, I was like, you shouldn't be having kids before you're 25. Absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not. And he was like, you know, he asked, why do you say that? I said, I had you in my early 20s, right after I turned 21. That was not a good idea.
Yeah.
Great package, great gift. But I said, if I could have had you later in life, I definitely would have.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't regret it, not one bit, but a baby having a baby. At 21, you're still like a baby.
For both women and men, your 20s are for you.
Yep.
That's it. That's your time to be selfish and nobody can judge you for it, because you're exploring, you're Dora the Explorer-ing, and you are allowed to, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's your time to be selfish, set the scene, make the mistakes, step into your 30s, and let's critique that filter a little bit better.
I'm like, there's no rush.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, but I want to be able to grow with my kid like you. I said, no. What we have is cool. What we have is cool.
Right.
You don't need what we have. You want to be established. You want to have money. You want to have the right situation. You want to find the right person. You want to have done the things that you wanted to do without having the responsibility of a child. So I wish that was a conversation that was had with me when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
Not just don't bring no babies home or don't do this, don't do that. Why? Give me the reasons why.
Yeah.
I'm giving him the actual reasons why. Like what, biologically, socially, financially, life experience wise, you shouldn't be having kids early.
Absolutely. I mean, I would love for the girls to make sure that I'm at least 55.
Grandma status, like real grandma status. Don't make me a grandma in my 40s. I'm no thank you. I'm not. Mm-mm.
Be picky, okay?
Mm-mm.
What else did I want to talk about? The social talk that men get is confusing.
Mm-hmm.
If all these people telling you this is what a man's supposed to be doing, this is what a man's supposed to be saying, a man is not supposed to say that, a man is not supposed to care about this, a man, but nobody is saying what man is the example of what should be done.
That's another thing. What mom says clashes with what he hears when he is around other males from the other side of the family. Mm-hmm. We don't agree what manhood is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really hard. But you know what? You have to allow them to be around different types of people. Because in the real world, like even at work, you're around a smorgasbord of type of people and you really can't control that environment. Mm-hmm. But you do have to filter out what's right and what's wrong. And sometimes you have to ingest bad stuff and, you know, take the meat and spit out the bone. So that's an interesting conversation to have, because some of the men who are around him that I don't have any say about aren't necessarily men I would want him to grow up to be like. Mm-hmm. So him seeing that and knowing that, hey, I'm exposed to this, but I don't have to be this.
Yeah,
I can care about this person and not be like this person.
Yeah, that filter that he's working on, because it's always in a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he creates that strong enough for gender role talk,
mm-hmm.
career talk, the do's and don'ts when it comes to dating talk. Even the way older men talk about heartbreak or a breakup.
Oh, yeah.
It's so immature. The way that you get over your heart being broken is not by screwing the world.
No, I'm glad I don't have one of those kids. Yeah.
Oh my God. That is so wrong. And it's just like those men who think that that's what you do are the same men who go home alone,
mm-hmm.
grouchy, annoyed, lonely, drinking, having some other vice to avoid the feelings.
So this is why I think Gen Alpha is going to change that, because I feel like they're more like the boomers in certain areas where they want relationships.
They do.
They actually want, and I don't know what the flip is, because Gen Z is like all over the place. You know, we are a total different millennials. We're a whole different category when it comes to relationships. But Gen Alpha are kind of like us, I would say, in the sense that we were parented more than the boomers. We were parented more than Gen X. Mm-hmm. And I think that Gen Z might have been overparented, mm-hmm. to where now with Gen Alpha, they're actually getting emotionally intelligent parents. So the idea of being in a relationship seems more normal, that even when their parents are not together, they're still working in some type of tandem to make sure that they're good and sound, that they actually want community. They actually want a relationship, and they're more optimistic about having relationships. Mm-hmm. So I think Gen Alpha will be the rise in actual marriages, successful marriages at that too.
For us, it's like hit or miss. It's like if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't,
it is what it is.
I'm just making sure my health is in check, just in case I have to be the one to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much work with that. I think a lot of men also fear being used by women, and those men who fear being used by women, because this is a very women know how to use the next time. Women know how to use the socials time. And a lot of these males who get on these mics or make these posts about what they're not going to do for a woman are also in the DMs of women paying for them to respond.
That is so weird to me, though. When you look at it, in our society, women are the most intelligent when it comes to having degrees, being successful, and things of that nature, having their own, what would we need from you? Right. I actually see it to be the other way around. Even if it's not monetarily, men are using women, whether it be for a home, whether it be for companionship, whether it be physically. I think the fear is that they're going to use you in a way that you have already been using them. So a lot of times people are afraid of what they're already doing. Yes. So a lot of, like, that's what it is. You're afraid that she's going to use you because you intend to use her in some type of way. And it may not be the same way. You know, it's always money. Women want money. Women
it's
want money.
That's why men think it's not a big deal if they cheat. But if you cheat, you're ruining the family. How?
Girl. That's another thing that I had to walk back when it came to my son. My son was told that the reason why his idea of the family was destroyed was because mommy took it away. So we had to have that family discussion on what that looks like. Like, I really had to have the conversation that everybody isn't meant to be together.
Yeah.
You have to learn when to walk away from a situation that doesn't benefit you. So that goes back to men. There's men who stay in a relationship regardless of what happens.
Too many.
Mm-hmm.
And it's damaging.
You should leave. If something is not working, you should never be afraid to leave. Whether it be the job, the relationship, the friendship. You need to pivot. Sometimes you have to pivot. Sometimes learning when to leave, I think that's one of the biggest lessons my mom. Know how to leave a situation before it leaves you. is the biggest lesson my mother gave me. And that could be anything, because once it gets to the point where the situation is getting away with you, the losses are totally different. You can lose out on a small situation momentarily, or you can lose for a lifetime. And there are relationships in life that will make you lose time that you can't get back. So, yeah. Right. Men sit in relationships, and to me, use women some of our best years, I will say. Yeah. As far as years to do things physically, health-wise, emotionally, socially, whatever case may be, that's something big. I don't care about money. Money can come and go. I've made a bag, lost a bag, got it back 10 times over. But time is something that's invaluable. And men waste time with women. So being worried about her taking your money shouldn't be nothing. You can get that back. That's something that you can get back.
That's a whole other thing where I'm just like, what money are you worried about her taking that you're not making?
That part too.
are you concerned me taking your Nintendo collection?
But that's the whole thing about what do you bring to the table? That question irritates me so much. It really does. And on both sides, whether it be coming from men or coming from women, what do you bring to the table is a loaded question. Like, you want to have an argument. Like, what is your value? Is that what you want to be like?
I think if you have to ask what somebody's bringing to the table, you should have never came over here to talk to me.
I eat steak over here regularly, with or without you. That's what's at the table. Whatever I want to eat is at my table. Is that your table?
It's just Uber like eats. why are we in conversation asking this if you didn't see any qualities before you came over here?
That's what it says to me. You are trying to assess my value after you've already tried to entertain me. You should have seen me as valuable before we got to this stage. So that's something men don't understand, what your actual value is. Because I want him to understand that he is valuable too. Like, I would never say a man is invaluable. I see myself as valuable. I see myself as a prize. And I think everybody is a prize. Everybody has something to offer. So I don't want him to ever not think that he's worthy, because you're always worthy of love. It comes from yourself first. And when you love yourself, you're able to identify who can mirror that back to you. So that's what you bring to the table. Self-awareness.
Woo. Such self-work. And it starts at home. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So when it comes to these mama boys having a double duty, what would you describe that double duty as, if you think there is one?
What do you mean double duty? Like, as in?
Double duty as like dual layered things. As in, you have to guide your son, but mm-hmm. you also have to give him hygiene tips that he wouldn't necessarily get if a man was doing, but you get to do it from a woman's perspective, so he's better for women in the long run.
So the physical body hygiene was a problem for us at first, mm-hmm. but I didn't want to be overbearing, and I didn't want to shame him. I didn't want to make him feel bad. Mm-hmm. So we started putting reminders in his phone. So cutting your nails, mm-hmm. dad had a totally different approach. Oh, no woman ever is going to let you touch her. Da, 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 da. You shouldn't be doing it for female gaze. You yes. should be cutting your fingernails. Dirt. This dirt. If you can visibly see dirt underneath your nail, one, you're not washing your hands properly enough.
And why would you want to eat with those hands?
Hello, hygiene, cleaning your ears. It's not because someone else is going to see it. It's because you should be cleaning your ears, because that's disgusting. Like, yes. So putting reminders in his phone, those are gentle nudges. You have everybody has their phone in their hand. So every so often he has just gentle reminders. I should cut my nails this week. Mm-hmm. I should check to make sure that my ears are clean. Brushing his hair. His dad wants him to schedule his own haircuts now, as a reminder when you see you might need a shape up or a haircut. He's kind of in control of his look, so if you want, you want to grow your hair out, that's fine. You might need a shape up this often, making sure you're being aware of your physical appearance. Clothes. Picking out your clothes, knowing when to wash your clothes, knowing when you sized out of your clothes. So if you feel that your clothes are not fitting in a certain type of way, you can't be forcing it. One issue we had is that his shoes, his feet have been growing, girl. He is size 12 now. Size 12. Yeah. Men's sizes. Knowing your shoes.
I am in a woman's 10. No high school.
Oh my gosh.
Girl, what are you doing?
Whole nother bracket. Shoes are more expensive now. Yeah. Yes. That's a woman's 10. Yeah. You in big territory. Oh my God. But yeah, so stuff like that, and not making him feel ashamed about it. Like, hey, I'm pointing this out because I care about you and I want you to care about yourself. He had taken it hard at first, you know, feeling like somebody was chastising him. But this is out of love, because I wouldn't want you to be outside and hear from somebody else and it hurt 10 times.
That was my next thing for you. Like, the duality of nurturing while being on tough love.
I'm tough. As much as I'm tough, he appreciates it. He's like, well, at least you're not like a 90s parent. You tell me the truth, but you don't hurt my feelings and you give me the explanation. So I might say something that's hard and heavy, but I explain myself why I'm saying it.
Yeah.
You know, I came from the do as I say, not, you know, and leave it. I explain myself, because I got told to do things as a child with no explanation. It's because I said so.
Yeah.
I don't think that helps.
Yeah. Or even like the whole speak when you're spoken to.
What if I
peep something that you don't see that you need to know right now?
Okay.
I don't do that. Like, say excuse me, of course, but please speak.
Mm-hmm. I apologize too. There are certain things that I've been wrong about, and he's comfortable enough to say something to me like, hey mom, that wasn't right. I'm like, you know what? I apologize.
Yeah.
And leave it at that. No, I said it because, or if you didn't, I'm sorry. This is it. Leave it like that.
I think emotionally freeing your son is dual, because it's like, emotionally, this is a safe place, get that out. But I also have to teach you after you get that emotion out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And what to do with those emotions and where to not put those emotions. What time is a good time for the emotions? It's all learning. And some boys don't learn that in elementary. Some boys don't learn that in middle school. Some boys don't learn that in high school. Some boys are faced with that for the first time in college.
We're working on talking back, because as much as he's a great kid, we do have a little flippy of the mouth situation.
Yeah.
And I try to let him know there's a time and place for everything.
Yeah.
And sometimes your initial reaction isn't the best reaction. Mm-hmm. And as a kid who had a smart mouth, I was like, trust me, I get it. I get it.
Girl, but a new thing is when I tell her something and she's doing something and I don't peep it yet, she just think. I said, listen, you can do that thing with your friends. Don't do that thing with me.
No. Mm-mm. That's the quickest way for you to get in trouble.
No, like, let's not do that here, because you're gonna find another me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not gonna like it. But it's that balancing of, who is this cool to do with?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that with me, but we're cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I'm like, yeah, I'm the cool mom, but I'm not that cool.
Okay. there's boundaries for me. Even the bruh, I don't like it. Don't call me bruh.
I get that a lot. Mm-hmm.
The girls just like being in here, not knowing when to pull back, when to not do, when to. So we're dealing with the gas. And the break, the gas and the break.
Yes. It's an art form. It's an art form.
Yes. Yes.
Knowing when to play and how far to go. That's what we're at right now. Like, hey, not too much, my boy. Not too much. You're going a little too far.
Yeah. It's almost like sometimes I feel like we need to have a safe word.
I just said that to him yesterday. That is so funny. Because I was like, because this is not it. Because I had the urge to pop in the mouth. And I'm like, I'm not even that kind of mom. I'm like, you did too much. I now feel uncomfortable.
But you know, you always have, when you have more than one, you always have one who observes it faster than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And then here is Ari. So Ari can tell when we're playing and you took it too far. Mm-hmm. I is blinded.
Listen, the young grasshopper need to teach big sis, because observant, she's like, I'm a dog. Like,
she's not playing anymore. She's not playing anymore.
It's my facial expression. Once my facial expression changes, that's when it gets scary. He's like, oh no, it's too late. It's
she
too late.
She be trying to save her, but I just be like, why you get so angry so fast? Girl, because you don't know when to cut it. Okay?
I have those
cut 5 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I think, again, those
that's reading the room, though. That's a skill that you need. Hello? To read the room.
Hello?
Read the room.
And you have to do those. You have to have that playtime, not playtime at home. Mm-hmm. So then when they're with their friends, they're not that girl that's always annoying. Mm-hmm. Or that girl that can't tell when we're ready to go. Or everybody's at the table quiet for a reason. You steady there trying to say something that we're not trying to say.
Right. Yes.
It's you have to engage at home. A lot of people think this too, and I've talked about this, and mostly men get irritated by this when I say it. But just because you're the dad in the home, the mom is in the home, and the kids are in the home, doesn't mean y'all have a engaged household.
No, you could be there and not there. Physically present and mentally and emotionally present are not the same thing.
Okay, if you're not upstairs going in your kid's room, laying across their bed, or just like looking at what they're watching or playing or drawing or writing, you don't mm-hmm. ask them anything about it. That's damn near your roommate.
Yeah, passion ships. No, I'm all up in that phone. Like, I've actually relinquished some of the parental controls because, yeah. you know, he's 16 now. But yeah, I'm still in that phone. We be texting together. He has a little friend, and I'm glad that he actually speaks to me about it and sometimes asks for advice on how to respond. But yeah, I'll be in that phone.
The girls with permission. They don't have phones yet.
Mm-hmm.
Anya wants one. I'm about it.
Hold off until you need to. I needed to give him a phone just for the distance from school and, you know, things like that. But
yeah. I think balance, because I didn't get a phone until I was 16 and I bought my phone and I paid my own phone bill.
Mm-hmm.
My mom never. But she's not at an age where she can work. She's not at an age where she gets to choose what phone she's getting, because I'm going to be the one paying for it. But I also told her already, like, girl, at night, I'm going to be in the phone. You're not going to have it at night. I'm going to be able to check the phone. And she's just like, no, why would you do that? I'm just like, girl,
because I'm a mom. What do you mean?
Mentally get prepared that that's what it's going to be. Now, did my mom do that? No.
But my mom, that's more that, and that's the reason why I'm going to do it.
Yeah, my mom also knew who I was. Like, does Shan like boys? Yes. Is Shan boy crazy? No. What is Shan's concern in her phone? Did my manager text me to tell me to come in for some more money? Did such and such give me their shift? My alarm, and maybe texting friends. That's it. But she didn't feel like I was on like something else. I already know Ari and Anya, when the way that they talk to their friends is above me, okay? Mm-hmm. I've seen it, but I'm also okay with it. As long as you don't say it to me, I'm okay with it. But we're not doing no cyberbullying. We're not doing no saying things that's causing issues in class with other people because of what you said in text. It's those boundaries that these kids have to learn, because not to say that they need to, but these kids have never been punched
mm-hmm.
in their life outside at a playground or on their mm-hmm. way home from school. Not saying that they have to, but the way that I grew up having conflict with other kids is completely different than the way that they're
the whole different world, yeah.
And they feel like they can say anything on the internet. They can make a video about anything, and you can't. And there's consequences
to those actions. That's why when I first gave him the cell phone, there were so many parental controls, and I honestly had to tone it down. Like, I had very strict, you can't use the phone between this hour and this hour. You can't use this app or that app. Like, and you know what, to a certain extent, it was necessary. I don't know if you see the news. These kids have been talking. Oh, yeah. So we had to reel that back. But now that he's older, I've relinquished the hold on it, because I know that he's responsible. I know that if he sees something or somebody says something that's inappropriate, he'll show it to me mm-hmm. and say, hey, this is how I responded. This is what they said. I'm just block them. But before, I didn't have the faith that he was going to handle it correctly, whether that means he was going to engage and defend himself or mm-hmm. allow himself to be bothered or, you know, maybe even be manipulated. Now I know he's in a place where he knows what to do, and he knows that he's going to bring it to me and show me. But this just happened this year. He took the training wheels off.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do it. I say with what they have now, as far as parental controls, you can restrict what apps are used, what websites were used, the timing that it's used. Yeah. Phone gets shut down when it's bedtime.
Yeah, that's gonna be my steez.
Go ahead.
What was it like for you with him balancing hormones?
That shit. Oh, okay. So that was tough.
Yeah.
First thing I did was, you know, have the open conversation. Did refer to dad because I felt that he would be more comfortable with dad. Turns out mommy's more comfortable. Like, oh, dad might have the parts. Yes. And he might know, but I want to talk to you about it because I'm comfortable with you. You're my safe place. There are certain things about body type stuff that he might go to his dad about, but the majority is with me. So teaching him about hormones, changes in your body. Yeah, we had that whole conversation and very receptive, wasn't awkward, wasn't uncomfortable, and has no problem coming to me or his dad about those things. Like, we gave him, you know, we had the talk, the birds and the bees, very clear on how it works, what happens, and he's cool. If he has any questions, he'll come ask me. If he doesn't know something or feels uncomfortable or something, he'll ask me.
Love that. Okay, my last question for you, which is for everybody to understand. Now that you've done the dating of men and you're raising a boy to become a man, what are some things now that off tops when you meet a man makes you like, no, this is going to be a no? And what are some things that about him or his parents or his mother and how she raised him that tells you, okay, this is going to be a no?
Number one, what is the relationship with your mother? Off the bat, I've noticed that people who are raised, unfortunately, primarily by their mother, whether they have a close relationship, whether they're codependent or whether they're interdependent. So I wouldn't mind someone having a close relationship with their mother, but if they're still dependent on their mom socially, financially, housing, no. If there's no separation between them and their mother, when there's like a mutual respect, but also communication, no. If I can tell that your mother still takes care of you on an emotional and or financial level, that's going to be a no for me. Because I don't want you to go from one coddling situation to think you're going to come to the next.
Yes.
So that's a no. Also, the relationship with your dad is also important to me. I think I used to feel uncomfortable when men would say this. This is like in my 20s when it was like, oh, well, if a woman doesn't have her dad in her life, I'm not going to date them. I get it now. I definitely get it now because those parental relationships really do shape you. Can it shape you positively? Absolutely. But just as much as it can shape you negatively, it can shape you positively. So a man's relationship to his father. So what did your mom tolerate? Because I like that's going to paint the blueprint.
Yes.
Because whatever your mother tolerated from your father, you might have that expectation that somebody else is going to tolerate. You know, was Papa a Rolling Stone? Was he in and out of your life? Did your mom allow him back and forth in your life? Was he held accountable? Did he show you anything? Do your parents have emotional intelligence? Are your parents successful? Because there are people who have a late start in life, but they mellow out and settle out and start taking care of yourself. Do you still have to take care of your parent? So let's say your mom was never responsible. I know people who, you know, seek a certain type of partner because their parent never rose to the occasion.
Yeah.
So there's some sort of resentment towards the opposite sex or even towards the same sex because they never fully showed them what to do. So yeah, your relationship with your siblings, the relationship with your parents would definitely dictate whether or not I would be with you. How you view money and how you take care of yourself. Prioritize. I noticed that the more I prioritize my health in front of my child, it's a non-negotiable. Getting my hair done, making sure I'm clean, my nails are done, buying myself things. How you take care of yourself? Are you clean? And not just, you know, when I see you for a date, like, what is your habits? Yeah. How often do you get your hair cut? Things of that nature. And don't do it for me. Do it for yourself, because there are people who only go out and get themselves pretty or handsome when they're going on a date. Like, is this what you look like all the time? Like, what's your schedule?
Such goodies. Before we get out of here, what is one word of advice you would give moms of boys solely? Moms who have boys and girls, of things to say or maybe not to say? And
something that's not said when it comes to moms of boys that needs to be talked about more?
I think moms need to realize that they are raising a human being, not so much just a boy or a girl. Don't put gender roles on your child. Don't allow you being strong and independent to be your personality or your character trait in front of your child, because your child is going to have an expectation of others or also see themselves as a burden. Letting them know that being a parent is a responsibility, not just because you're a mother, but because you chose to have that child. And everything that you do as a parent is, like I said, it's not a burden. It's your responsibility. And I'm teaching you by my example on how you handle your responsibilities. Dutifully, with love, with respect, with honor. Like I said, don't put the gender roles. My child needs to learn these things because they're my child, not because he's my son. It's a very big difference. No matter, regardless if he was a girl or a boy, you are learning the things that you're learning because I want you to be a healthy individual, well-rounded. And everything that I'm telling you and I'm putting into you is timeless. Regardless of what era you are living in, regardless of where you go, the things that I'm instilling with you are for you to grow as a human while I'm here and long after I'm gone. That's the most important.
Love it. Where can the people find you, Miko?
Currently right now, you can find me as KimmyNeutron11 on the Insta. Also Community Pharmacy on the Insta. Mm-hmm. You need some consulting, you want to help with your business, you need a little accounting help, I'm here for you.
This was so good. I hope boy moms listen to this and men who have sons that are not showing up in ways where moms are, hear this, because
your sons need you. They really do.
Yeah, and I feel like men automatically assume that moms are not doing the things that the boys need because of what they see on the internet, but I feel like a lot of y'all are. And my hope is that when they grow up, they see the different standards and values that you guys express and show. And they're just like, there's a woman that I might like that I can tell her, like, anything that you want is possible because I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have kids. And my mom did X, Y, and Z. Not saying that the bar has to be in the heavens, but they'll have a better way to decipher if a woman is actually trying or if she's leaning.
And that is true. You do set the standard as a parent. Your child for the opposite sex, that we will gauge who you are and what you are based upon the examples that we've seen. So if my mom has endured, I'm expecting you to have a certain level of go-getter in you. Yes. And not saying that everybody else, you know, everybody is different. Everybody has their own capabilities, but there is a bare minimum.
Yes.
Of what's possible. And even dads too. I think a lot of dads don't show up or don't try as hard as the mom because they feel like, I'm not ready yet. I don't have it all together. Come as you are. Even if you don't have it all together, your son will still see you. Your child loves you unconditionally.
Yeah.
So even if you're not in a place where you want to be seen, show up anyway, because they're going to watch you ascend to where you need to be. And they need that example.
That's the best thing to see is, Dad, mm-hmm. I saw your last apartment. You're doing really good.
Yeah, I will see you at all different levels. My son has seen me at every different level of motherhood. And he's like, good job. I see you. Like, that's great.
And if you think about it, when it comes to wealthy kids who just were born in it,
mm-hmm.
they struggle the most because automatically they just think they're supposed to have this.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get to see that progress. So this was really good. Thank you so much for doing
that. Look-a-poo.
Another great episode for Cozy Room Podcast. You know, this is where I talk
about
love
it here. Things, love it here.
You know what I'm saying? This season, I'm primarily focusing on the moms and things that moms don't share that go on that maybe some dads are aloof to or society is aloof to. But, you know, pushing along.
We do. It's not an easy job, but I tell you, it's rewarding. I'm very happy about being a mom. It's one of the best things that I've ever chose to do. Not always easy, but definitely rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm enjoying this Sunday. Thank you, Super Bowl. Okay, because I got some free time. Okay.
Lord. I understand.
Mm-hmm. All right, boom.
Peace.
Thank you.